In this session, we will cover transfer pricing. Finance Act 2004 brought in significant changes to the transfer pricing legislation. In this lecture, we will concentrate on the rules as they stand following Finance Act 2004 and the rewrite to Part 4 TEOPA 2010. One of the main changes has been to the definition of a UK tax advantage. A UK tax advantage can arise in situations involving two UK companies. In addition, the rules relating to thin capitalisation have been removed from Section 209 of ICTA 1988, which previously gave power to reclassify excessive interest as a distribution and incorporate it into the transfer pricing legislation. The transfer pricing rules now incorporate exemptions for certain dormant, small and medium-sized companies. We will look at these shortly. Moving now to non-arm's length provisions. Legislation provides that if an actual provision is made between two parties where one of those parties was directly or indirectly participating in the management control or capital of the other, or the same person was directly or indirectly participating in the management control or capital, and the provision differs from the arm's length price, then, for tax purposes, the transaction or series of transactions will be treated as if the arm's length provision had been made. The adjustment is only made for the purposes of the tax calculations, but companies can charge what they wish in their accounts. Note, the rules apply to all transactions between connected parties, not just the sale of goods. Thus, transfer pricing adjustments can be made in relation to management charges, royalties, and, as we shall see later, loan relationships. The term transaction is given a wide meaning. It can include arrangements, understandings, and mutual practices, whether or not they are intended to be legally binding. We will be looking in more detail at the definition of participation in the management, control, or capital of a company. Let's consider control. Direct participation arises where a person controls a company or a partnership. Control can also take place where both companies are controlled by the same person. Indirect control arises if the person has future rights to control, or rights are being exercised under his instruction or for his benefit. Finance Act 2005 introduced a new definition of indirect control to prevent a number of parties who, acting together, can control a business from securing a tax advantage by putting in place specific financial arrangements, now found at Section 161 TEOPA. This extended definition of control only applies to financial arrangements which include arrangements relating in any way to debt capital or other finance. It also includes those arrangements put into place up to 6 months before the control relationship existed. Indirect control also arises where a person is a major participant. A person can be a major participant when two people taken together control the company, and each of them has rights amounting to at least 40% of the rights in the company. A definition of control is the power to ensure that the affairs of a company are dealt with in accordance with the person's wishes by means of shareholdings, voting power, or documentary evidence. In summary, the control test can be applied to cases where one company controls another, or both companies are controlled by the same person. It can also apply in the case of joint ventures, if the 40% test is met. In looking at control, all future rights are taken into account, as well as those of connected persons. Connected persons, for these purposes, are spouses, relatives, relatives of spouses, and spouses of relatives. Trustees are connected with the settlors and their connected persons. Relatives are siblings, ancestors, or lineal descendants. As we said in the introduction, a UK tax advantage can now arise where both companies are UK resident. Where there has been a UK tax advantage and a transfer pricing adjustment is made, then it is possible for the disadvantaged party to apply for a compensating adjustment. Finance Act 2004 further introduced rules, now within TEOPA 2010, allowing balancing payments to be made between the parties without a tax impact. There are certain exemptions from the transfer pricing rules. The first one that we will look at relates to dormant companies. For a company to qualify as dormant, it must have been dormant throughout the pre-qualifying period. The pre-qualifying period is defined as the accounting period to the 31st of March 2004, or, if there was no such accounting period, then the 3 months to the 31st of March 2004. The company must remain dormant following the 31st of March 2004. The term dormant is defined as for Section 1169 of the Companies Act 2006. A company will not be dormant if it enters into any transactions which give rise to receipts or expenses, or it does anything which requires adjustment to its assets or liabilities. A dormant company can make a claim for a corresponding adjustment, however, in doing so, it will lose its dormant company status. There are also exemptions for small and medium-sized companies. For these purposes, the definition of small or medium-sized is set down in EC Directive 2003/361. The definition of a small company is one with turnover of less than 10 million euros, a balance sheet of 10 million euros, and 50 employees or less. A medium-sized company is defined as one with turnover of less than 50 million euros, balance sheet of 43 million euros, and 250 employees or less. There are certain exceptions to the exemptions that apply to small or medium-sized companies. Two of the exceptions apply to small and medium-sized companies, and the third one applies to medium-sized companies only. The first exception applies where the small or medium-sized company has elected to disapply the exemption. Note, this election is made on a chargeable period basis. Thus, the election will apply for the whole of a chargeable period. The other exception arises when the other party to the transaction is resident in a non-qualifying territory. This exception applies on a transaction-by-transaction basis. To decide whether a transaction is with a resident in a non-qualifying territory, we need to define what is qualifying territory. Qualifying territory covers the UK and any territory with which the UK has a double tax treaty that contains a non-discrimination clause. HMRC have also reserved the right to issue statutory instruments naming other territories as qualifying or non-qualifying. The exception that applies only to medium-sized companies is when HMRC issue a transfer pricing notice to the company. Note that a transfer pricing notice will apply for a chargeable period, thus a notice needs to be issued for each chargeable period. On receipt of a transfer pricing notice, the company has 30 days to appeal. However, they can only appeal against the notice on the grounds that they are a small company and not a medium-sized company. The company has 90 days to amend its return in accordance with the notice. A closure notice cannot be issued in respect of a return until the 90-day period has elapsed. A return does not become incorrect because a transfer pricing notice has been issued. If it is not amended within 90 days or the amendments prove to be insufficient, then the return will become incorrect to the extent of the understated profits. Finally, note that a transfer pricing notice can only be issued if there is an inquiry into a return. Moving on to trading stock. If a company transfers trading stock to another company with which it is connected, and a transfer pricing adjustment takes place, The transferee can make an adjustment in the first accounting period on or after the period in which the transfer occurs. To demonstrate this, let's have a look at an illustration. A Limited is a company with a year end of the 31st of December. It transfers some trading stock in November 2010 to a connected company. B Limited has a year end of the 31st of March. B Limited sells the stock in August 2011. A transfer pricing adjustment is made in the tax computations in A Limited. B Limited is allowed to make a compensating adjustment in the price of stock in the year to the 31st of March 2011. As the transfer took place in November 2010, it fell into the accounting period 31st of December 2010 for A Limited, which falls into the accounting period 31st of March for B Limited. Note, this is earlier than the accounting period in which the sale of stock takes place for B Limited, which here is the year to the 31st of March 2012. Here we will discuss advance pricing agreements. Under the corporate tax self-assessment rules, it is the company's responsibility to ensure that all transfer pricing adjustments are made when the CT600 is completed. If the necessary adjustments are not made, this can lead to interest and/or penalties. To help counter this uncertainty, an advance pricing agreement can be entered into. Advance pricing agreements, APAs, are not compulsory. It is the company's decision whether it wishes to apply for one. However, if an agreement is entered into, it is binding. HMRC are willing to enter into unilateral agreements with a UK company. However, they encourage bilateral agreements, which involve the tax authorities in the other country. An application for an APA must be in writing, setting out the transactions to be covered, why the company thinks they give rise to transfer pricing issues, and how the company proposes to deal with them. An APA can cover a period before the agreement is reached, so long as this is set out in the agreement. APAs will be operative for a specific period. The company should propose a reasonable period. The revenue have indicated that they envisage a minimum of 3 years and a maximum of 5 years. Once an APA is in place, the critical assumptions set out in the application should be monitored and reviewed to ensure that there have not been any changes. The company needs to notify HMRC of any changes to the critical assumptions. HMRC have the power to nullify an APA if information has been given fraudulently or negligently. A fine of up to £10,000 can be imposed on any company fraudulently or negligently providing information in connection with an APA. An APA can be revoked if the company does not comply with its terms. An application for a renewal of an APA should be made within 6 months of the expiry of the existing APA. HMRC have issued a Statement of Practice No. 3 of 1999, which sets down the details which should be covered in the written agreement for an APA. The Statement of Practice advises that the application for an advance pricing agreement should identify the persons concerned, the matters to be covered by the agreement, the transfer pricing method to be used, and the critical assumptions. HMRC have indicated that it may take 18 months or so to agree the terms of an APA. Therefore, APAs tend to involve complex transfer pricing issues. Code of Practice 10, dealing with post-transaction rulings, may be used to come to an agreement with HMRC on less complex issues. A similar system of advanced agreements is to be brought in to deal with thin capitalization issues.